VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And folks, we thank you for joining us for a very critical program today here on Crosstalk. You know, we're quick to look at the impact of the United States presidential election on our own nation. I mean, the policies, the initiatives, the stifling of free speech, the promise of shutting down religious freedom even within the first 100 days of a new administration, the coming assault on the Second Amendment, and on the list goes. But there's another impact this election has, and it deals in the area of foreign policy. Today we're going to be examining current events unfolding as it pertains to Israel, Iran, and other Middle Eastern nations. We'll take a look at China, Russia, and yes, even North Korea. We're going to get right into it today. Our guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, a student of Bible prophecy, expert on the Middle East. He leads a ministry, Prophecy Today. Their website, prophecytoday.com, has spent years not only living in Israel and having led many trips there, but he's a noted conference speaker, constantly is monitoring news regarding Israel and the Middle East, provides a very unique blend of political, biblical, and prophetic insight that's absent from the media today. Dr. DeYoung, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Oh, my joy, Jim, and what a time in history we're living in. There's positives and negatives. We'll probably talk about some of the negatives, but the positive is there's a possibility that the rapture could happen very soon. This is a stage that's being set. That's number one. But until that time does take place, when the rapture takes us up to be with Jesus in the heavenlies, we need to be at the Lord's work, telling people of the salvation experience they can have with the person of Christ, and looking to the Word of God to live through these chaotic times. So it is an exciting time, both negatively and positively.
So let's begin with Israel. President Trump, a huge friend of Israel. He's the only one who promised moving the embassy to Israel's capital, Jerusalem, who actually did it. Do you anticipate this level of same level of friendship is going to occur under a Biden administration, or is there trouble ahead?
Well, absolutely not. There will not be that same relationship between the United States and the state of Israel. And I know that because of the fact that Joe Biden was vice president under an Obama administration. And you can just go back and look at the record. What did they do? How did they participate standing alongside of Israel? The fact is they did not. Just think about the Jewish settlements. Biden has already said, echoing what his former boss, President Obama, had to say, the Jewish settlements, which is almost a million people living in the area of Judea and Samaria, the middle part of the state of Israel. And, of course, they believe, Obama and Biden both believe, that these Jewish settlements were a hindrance to peace. And, of course, when you look at what Kamala Harris, who is going to be the vice president, had to say, she is so pro-Palestinians, it's unbelievable. She could be the leader of the Palestinian people with her philosophy. So that is the kind of administration that is going into office just in a couple of days, and the Israeli leadership, the government there is going to have to deal with it. They're concerned much about what Biden said as it relates to Iran and reinstituting or restoring the Iranian nuclear deal. That could be of great concern for the Jewish state of Israel. They're walking circumspectly. They're trying to be politically savvy and not make any harsh statements at this point in time. But past records, Jim, I have to believe, would indicate it's going to be a tough go. I don't know what people may think about the former president as of the 20th of this month, and I'm talking about Donald Trump. I can tell you the Jewish people loved him, especially in light of what you alluded to in the introduction. He is not a president, the only one who made a statement during his campaigning that he would move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. As far back as I can remember, presidents were making that statement. Administrations, even the legislature, the United States Congress, passed a resolution to do that. But Donald Trump was the only one to do it. That was in the time of December of 2017. when he decided to not only name Jerusalem as a friend of the United States, but he also said that Jerusalem would be the political capital of the Jewish state of Israel. That was to cause a world war, which did not come about. And then the next year, in May of 2018, he moved that embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, love what Donald Trump did as it relates to Israel. And the rest of the world has to consider what he did. I don't know if you look at the last 6 months of what's been happening, but indeed he was a dear friend to Israel. They do not see that type of coming friendship with the Biden administration.
How would you describe the relationship of the Congress toward Israel? Do you see it being friendly, or do you observe a growing animosity on the part of the members of Congress?
I think it's a mixed situation, and it may lean to a growing, very much concern about what they believe about the Jewish state of Israel. There are a number of Jewish people that are members of the United States House of Representatives or the United States Senate. But when you look at them and where they stand on Israel, they should just throw away their Jewishness because they're really not Jewish. They do not have a heart and desire for what God is doing and will do for the Jewish people. So I'm much concerned about the United States Congress. And, of course, when you've got a Congress that is controlled by the Democrats, the White House controlled by the Democrats, then you've got the party, the Democratic Party, which is basically anti-Israel, controlling the whole situation. They can make any moves. They can pass any laws. They can, you know, make any strong statements against the Jewish state. They can threaten them about the settlements, about their activities with Iran, about the Abraham Accords. They can drop that. So I'm very much concerned about the United States Congress, especially when they're in the hands of the incoming administration.
Could this be the turning point of here with that relationship then with the U.S. and Israel? We know one day, Dr. DeYoung, Israel's going to be standing all by herself.
Well, I want to tell you something. I have studied Bible prophecy for over 50 years, and I do not find any place in Bible prophecy that speaks of the United States with one possible exception, and that would be where it talks about all the nations of the world, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2, gathering at Jerusalem. Should America be around after the 7 years of tribulation, they'll be gathering in Jerusalem to await the return of Jesus Christ. But that's the only reference I see to the United States. So therefore, in my opinion and my understanding of the studies of the Word of God, the United States is not in Bible prophecy. And as I said at the beginning, these are exciting times. We may be beginning to see the demise of America through, I believe, rebellion, through revolution, and, of course, the rapture of the church would take the backbone, the born-again, Bible-believing Christian, the backbone of the United States of America. You take that out, and when you have a nation on the slippery slope to moral decay, educational decay, military decay, economic decay, you've got to recognize they're going to fall off the scene. I believe, as I was talking with somebody today, we don't need to be focusing on what's happening, all the chaos here in America. And as you are telling us, even the fact that you're having me on the air today, we need to be focusing more on the Jewish state of Israel and God's plan for them. We know that's an absolute.
Absolutely. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us today, prophecytoday.com. You mentioned the Abraham Accords, peace relations which have occurred between Israel and nations never thought possible before. Just recently it was Sudan normalizing ties with Israel. Your observation of these Abraham Accords as we have this changeover in administration?
Well, you've got to go back to 1979 when the first accord with the Arab nations came into place. That was a relationship, the Davidic Accords, the Camp David Accords, I should say, between Egypt and Israel. And then you come up to 1994. There was a peace agreement signed in the Arava, which is the Jordan Valley near the Red Sea in Israel. I happened to be at that peace treaty signing, and that was between King Hussein of Jordan and then the Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, and they signed a peace treaty. I was about 4 or 5 feet from them when they signed that treaty. Now, those are peace treaties 26 years old or more. And then just recently, what again President Trump did, and, you know, he may have been doing some bad things, but good things he did was bring the Abraham Accords into existence with the United Arab Emirates, with Bahrain, with Sudan, as you mentioned, and also the most recent one with Morocco. And there are still talks on the table. In fact, I have heard it's a possibility, even before he's out of office, that we might see the president try to bring to the peace table Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other Arab nations. Pakistan is not an Arab nation. It's an Islamic nation. By the way, the only nuclear-powered Arab or Islamic nation in the world. But Saudi Arabia is very close to normalizing relationship with Israel. I don't see how a Biden administration who really doesn't like Saudi Arabia, they don't like Pakistan, they don't like Israel, how they're going to continue the Abraham Accords. This is a very key situation. And many people, Jim, I've got to just add this caveat. Many people say, well, DeYoung, you're always talking about how the Arab and Islamic world is going to rise up against Israel and try to destroy them. Now, with these peace accords, how do you say that scenario is going to come about? Well, I am so excited to see the peace accords because, in fact, when you see peace on the table with the enemies of Israel and the Jewish state of Israel, you can recognize that has set the stage for Daniel 9:27. It says there those peace accords are going to fall apart. There's going to come along a world leader called the Antichrist. He's going to confirm those treaties. In other words, the ones who are falling apart, because they had to be in place first, they start falling apart, which the Bible tells me they are going to do. Then he steps forward. He confirms those treaties. He becomes the totalitarian leader of the world. That's Daniel 9:27 all over the place. And I see those Abraham Accords a part of that end-time scenario.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us here today. Folks, it's amazing what's taking place. And Dr. DeYoung, we are just a minute from a break here, but we're going to be bringing Iran into the picture and focus on Iran and then segueing over as well. But any idea what is the mood in Israel toward an administration change, if indeed that does all come about next week, as we're told? What is the mood in Israel pertaining to this change? Is there reluctance? Is there skepticism? Are they looking for a renewed relationship there? What do we know?
All of the above, and they're hoping and praying for a renewed relationship similar to that of the Trump administration. I don't see that as being a possibility. Mm-hmm. Their main concern is the fact that already, even during his time of campaigning, leading up now since he has been president-elect and the administration coming into existence very soon, a couple of days now, they're much concerned that Joe Biden will endeavor to renew the Iranian nuclear deal, which would be a major threat to the Jewish state of Israel.
And folks, with that, we're taking a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about this Iran nuclear deal. And how is this going to be approached from a Biden administration? And some of the statements we're going to share with you from the Khomeini there as well, the supreme leader of Iran, as well as Iran's president. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how are stars formed?
Chris, evolutionists say that each star condensed out of interstellar clouds of gas. But think about it. How could this happen? Remember, space is a vacuum, and gas in a vacuum would be sucked out in all directions. How could this gas become so dense that it would collapse by its own gravity? The pressures pushing it out would far exceed the gravitational pressures inward. There have been a number of evolutionary suggestions to get the process started, but all of them start with stars in the beginning. They say that a nearby exploding star might send out a pulse of energy that would condense a cloud of gas, but the question is, where did the stars come from in the first place? Not how do stars in rare circumstances form other stars? The Bible says that God created stars on day 4 of creation week, and the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, the election's impact on Israel, Middle East, and world affairs. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung is our guest. ProphecyToday.com is a website. Folks, check it out. They've got a number of great resources there. They've got a lot of news information there on their site as well, ProphecyToday.com. Dr. DeYoung, let's bring Iran into the picture. President Trump walked us away from the so-called Iran nuclear deal. Right now, we have the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei mocking the dissension in the U.S. He says that this is God's revenge for the U.S. sowing instability in the Middle East. President Hassan Rouhani saying, as I said after the martyrdom of Martyr Soleimani, I emphasize again that if you cut off Martyr Soleimani's hand, we will cut off your leg from the region. We will continue the resistance until that day. One of the effects of this stupid and disgraceful act was that Trumpism ended, and in a few days, he said, the life of this criminal will end, and he will go into the dustbin of history, and we're happy about this, and we're happy. We believe that the period after Trump will be a better condition for regional and global stability. And then the Fars News Agency reporting a week ago, Iran is done with tolerating Israel, that punishment awaits Benjamin Netanyahu. You have Iran telling the U.S., U.S. big time after what President Trump did to us with the Iran nuclear deal. Give us your perspective on Iran.
Well, I have to say that at this point in time right now, the United States is on high alert, and also the state of Israel as well, because the Iranians have made a statement that they're going to take revenge against Trump and Netanyahu. Trump, the president, of course, of the United States, and Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Because of that, and you mentioned it, the assassination of Soleimani, but in addition to that, the assassination of the highest ranking scientist, head of the nuclear program in Iran itself. So they are threatening to take revenge on these two nations. The big Satan is United States, little Satan Israel. In fact, on January the 6th, there was a concern that they might try to fly aircraft into the Capitol building. So there was that alert going on while all the other chaos and controversy was taking place there in Washington. So Israel is on high alert, anticipating what may happen. You might remember that Prime Minister Netanyahu, during the Obama administration, came to the United States, was asked to speak at a joint session of the United States Congress, both the House and the Senate there, and he went after Iran and the development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. He went after President Obama and that nuclear deal. Now, having said that, he has not changed his mind. In fact, he has only intensified his thinking and understanding of what Iran may well do. So they have a preemptive strike ready to go. And in fact, there were those who speculated it might happen in the last days of the Trump administration. Now, we still have a couple of days, so I'm not going to say that that will not happen. But the Israelis, I had Prime Minister Netanyahu tell me himself, I asked him the question, what will you do if you find out that Iran has a nuclear weapon of mass destruction? He said, we will do a preemptive strike. We are not going to allow the Iranians to strike us with nuclear weapons. Meanwhile, the Iranians are bragging about their Shahab 3 missile program and other missiles that they have been developing since that nuclear deal was put in place that could hit any target inside of the Jewish state of Israel. That's not the only concern. It can hit any target inside the entire Middle East. They can hit the European Union. They can come at America as well. And they have been doing enrichment of uranium, Jim, that they are now ready. They're 90% ready to put a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, a warhead, on one of those Shahab 3 missiles to deliver it to Israel, to the United States, European Union, any place in the Middle East. Iran may well be close to the most dangerous nation in the world, and that's what Bible prophecy calls for. You go to Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 5, where it mentions Persia. The name Iran came about when one of the leaders of Iran back in 1936 visited over in Germany. They met with Adolf Hitler, and he said, I don't like the name Persia. Change it to Iran. And, of course, in the Farsi language, that means exactly what the Aryan nation is what it's all about. So we see that history. They have not changed the Ayatollahs. They are ready to go. President Rouhani, he is staged and ready to attack. They are ready to attack Israel. They're ready to attack America. America can be playing games and giving them more information, more help in developing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. I do believe that's dangerous, so do the Israelis.
Yeah, and maybe more money, too. I think it was today, we have Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying that al-Qaeda has set up a home base in Iran and said this, so you have the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, the Islamic Republic of Iran, as the home base for al-Qaeda. He said they are partners in terrorism, partners in hate. Dr. DeYoung, this is not a good combination.
It is not a good combination. And look who the source was for that information. When you talk about Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, first of all, I believe he's truly a born-again Christian. My wife and I pray every night for him to be able to stand true to his testimony, and also Mike Pence, who is a born-again Christian, to stand true to their testimony. But when Mike Pompeo makes a statement, this guy's brilliant. He's in the genius category, graduated at the top of his class at West Point. This man is absolutely on target when he's talking about al-Qaeda. Hey, they were telling us that al-Qaeda was no more a problem. Hello? That's exactly what the Secretary of State said today, within the last 24 hours. America and its leadership in the future better wake up to what reality is in this world.
Dr. DeYoung, so this Iran nuclear deal, there seems to be every indication that Joe Biden's going to renew that which was true under the Biden administration, under the Obama administration.
Yeah, well, look at who he selected for Secretary of State and for his intelligence man. The people that were putting the blueprint together for the Iranian nuclear deal under the Biden administration, now we're going to be ministers in the Biden administration, or we call them in the Middle East ministers. I'm talking about Secretary of State. He was a key player in putting that Obama-Iranian nuclear deal together. So we know that's going to be the case. We know they're going to move in that direction. Israel knows it. Iran is thrilled about it. We're talking about interference, and we don't know. I don't know that anybody can tell us for sure that it was Russia who did, some of those internet strikes or cyber attacks, as they call them, or China. But for sure, Iran was involved in it, and they were just cheering for Biden to become president. They don't want any more of Donald Trump. They want the Biden, or should I say the Obama administration, back in place.
Interesting. Dr. DeYoung, I know, too, the Palestinian Authority just had released a video of a march not too many days ago. What was that march all about?
Well, they are willing to try to sit at the table with the Israelis. They believe that, indeed, they now want to renew that peace process between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Remember when the first Abraham Accords came out, the first statement from the Palestinian leadership, Mahmoud Abbas, was that the Arab world had turned on the Palestinian people, turned their back, stabbed them in the back, and in fact, they were not going to sit and talk with any of Trump's representatives as it relates to putting together a resolution to the conflict, which has been going on basically for 4,000 years. There's an unbelievable history. Don't have time to get into that. But today, they want to sit down. But the problem is, and they were marching to say, our armed struggle is not over. We're going to take not only what we believe is our possession, and that would be Ramallah there in the center part of the state just north of Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip, where Hamas, is an Islamic terror organization, is located. We're not going to only take that for a Palestinian state. In fact, we want the entire state. So they were marching to make a statement. I talked with Itamar Marcus. Itamar Marcus heads up the Palestinian Media Watch. They monitor exactly what the electronic and print media is saying from the Palestinian Authority in Israel. And he said the march was to say, we are not giving up. We're going to move ahead. We will go to the table. We want pre-1967 borders for a two-state solution. Well, that's a non-starter for Israel. They're still involved in the armed struggle, and that's what they were marching. They were trying to gin up every single insight, all the Palestinian people. They used the media as a propaganda machine, and they were using the marches and speeches by many of these Palestinian leaders to keep these Palestinian people encouraged to wipe out the Jewish state.
My folks, amazing information. We could stay just in the Middle East, but Dr. DeYoung, the New American, I saw an article there. Joe Biden isn't the real winner of 2020. China is. So let's talk about China, and I'm sure Russia is going to enter into our discussion here as well, because we're seeing China doing a whole lot of world posturing right now.
Well, you know, China, and I'm going to make a quick statement. I'm sure we can expand upon it when we come back in the next segment. China may well be the most dangerous nation in this world. Nobody's really wanting to watch China. We're watching everything happening in Washington, D.C. We're watching our United States Congress trying to get rid of President Trump when he only has about a week left in his administration. We're watching all of this division developing across the world, and in particular here in the United States from a philosophical perspective, and we're not paying attention to China. We have people that are coming in with the Biden administration that want to sit down, and I'm not even going to talk about it. I don't think we need to get into Hunter Biden and the relationship that Joe Biden himself has with China, but we are looking and everything focused on what's going on in Washington. We better be paying attention to what's happening in China. They want to be number one militarily and economically. They are just about at the point where they can fulfill that goal. Now, you can tell me all day that China did not bring together the coronavirus. They did not somehow, maybe in a chemical location where they were putting other chemicals together, develop this. I'm not going to argue that point with anybody. But we can absolutely, without any hesitation, say that they were responsible for spreading the coronavirus. They would not allow planes to fly out of Wuhan to any of the Chinese cities, but they allowed them to fly from there into the United States, into the European Union, knowing that the spread of this coronavirus would take place. Who started it? I'm not going to argue that point. Who spread it? It was absolutely China. And I think this was a part of their play to set the stage to accomplish what they want to do. And we can talk more about China and how they are spreading their tentacles throughout the entire world.
Folks, amazing information. And we're going to be taking a break here. We're going to come right back to China, though. And Russia is going to enter into our discussion as well, monitoring world situations right now based upon the election, its impact. We focus so much on domestically what's taking place, but there is much at stake as it relates to Israel, Iran, Middle East, world affairs, Russia, China, and yes, we're going to get to North Korea as well. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, our guest, prophecytoday.com is his website, and we're back in just 1 minute.
Scripture provides many warnings regarding false prophets and false teachers in the world who present another gospel which is not another. Such are teachings from Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower Society. They preach a different Jesus, a different salvation, a different gospel which does not align with the Scripture. Do you know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe and how to counter them from the Bible? In the book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses, author Ron Rhodes presents point-by-point lists of the favorite tactics and arguments used by the witnesses, along with effective biblical responses to each one. Presented are hundreds of good questions that you can ask to challenge the Jehovah's Witnesses' confidence in the Watchtower Society. VCY is offering Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses for a donation of $19 or more. It is available by calling 1-800-729-9829.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Folks, there's much more than just what's happening domestically here in the U.S. with this election. Dr. DeYoung, I saw the Gatestone Institute. They reported that Iran and China promised to be the biggest test of Biden's presidency in 2021. And I heard you say in the last segment, you said this, China may be the most dangerous nation in the world. Fill us in more on China and that threat to not only the United States, but the world as a whole as well.
Well, it's been said, Jim, all across the world, that Iran, especially in the Middle East, is the number one danger and threat to the entire Middle East. Israel has made that statement. They're number one. But then you put on top of that China. And recently, China put together an investment package with Iran, $400 billion. That's a B. $400 billion that China has invested in Iran. But that's not all. They've also invested in Saudi Arabia. They almost own every single part of Africa. And I don't know if you understand the religiosity of the African people. It has been Christian in the past because of the missionaries, but the spread, and the last time I was in Kenya, Africa, I was noticing so much the spread of Islam. It is amazing. It's all across the entire continent of Africa, and China has come in and is totally keeping financially the state of Africa up and operating. European Union. There's a big debate now going on among the European Union states as to the investments that China is offering the EU to help them accomplish their ultimate goal. They're taking over control of the European Union. And I read just recently that the chairman of the Red Communist Party in China, in Beijing, made the statement, I think it's so funny, I'm laughing at the United States, not only because of the riots that have took place, but the silencing of the president of the United States. Where is this thing called democracy, which is supposed to have free speech? Says, I don't see it in America. And so what they're saying about Donald Trump is making us the laughing stock of the world. No, I don't think that's the case. I believe it's high tech. I believe it's the corporations of America that are making us the laughing stock of the world. And China is quickly moving to take advantage of that. If you look at the scriptures and people, I've been a China watcher for a number of years, Jim, but if you look at the scriptures and the reason what motivated me was what it talks about in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12, where it talks about, and this is one of the last of the 21 judgments. This is number 20 of the 21 judgments upon the world during that 7-year tribulation period. And it talks about the river Euphrates being stopped and just dammed up or somehow allowing a way for a major army, a military might to come across the Euphrates River, which happens to be the natural border between the Middle East and the Far East. These nations, these kings of the East coming in and going towards the state of Israel, the Jewish city of Jerusalem. If you're in chapter 16 of Revelation, look at verses 13 to 16. That's talking about Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet, the satanic trinity, doing signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what the text says. I'm not making up or, commentating on any of these texts. I'm saying what the text says. Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet will use signs, wonders, and miracles to gather all the nations of the world to go against Israel, to go against the Jewish state, and go into Jerusalem to try to stop the return of Jesus Christ at the end of that 7-year tribulation period. Now, think just for a moment. The fourth seal judgment, Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, is going to take out 1/4 of the earth's population. Let's say we have 8 billion people. I'll just use that for a number. 8 billion people. 1/4 would be 2 billion. So that leaves 6. When you come over to the fifth and sixth trumpet judgment, Revelation chapter 8 and 9, you see another third. Okay, so that's going to be now half the earth's population is going to be wiped out before the midway point of the tribulation period, leaving whom? the most populated nation in the world, Red China, India, and all the other kings of the East, and they're going to have to form a relationship with Antichrist. Ultimately, Red China, a communist nation, is just a half an inch away from a satanic operation led by Antichrist. That's going to be the coalition's going to come together in the last days. We're watching. If you watch China, everything they're doing, you watch them. They're right on that trajectory to make that happen.
How does Russia fit into all of this?
Russia, see, that I was just talking there about the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Russia, when you go to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 2, it talks about Gog and the land of Magog. Now, Gog is the personality, and Magog is the place. We're talking about, if you have to go back to Genesis chapter 10, the grandsons of Noah, when they were told by the Lord through their grandfather Noah, they were to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, they started doing that. And you can study where Magog is one of the grandsons of Noah, son of Japheth. He went north of the Caspian and Black Sea, and he established Russia. And as you continue to read, then through Ezekiel 38, Psalm 83, Daniel chapter 11, you see a coalition of Middle Eastern Islamic nations that are going to form under the leadership of Russia. Hello, Syria is where they're headquartered today at Israel's northern border. They're going to form a coalition. They're going to try to wipe out. It says in Psalm 83, verse 4, they'll come out at a conference meeting and say, we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth and have her name forgotten as if she had never been. That's their plan. That starts at the beginning of the tribulation. However, when you look at Ezekiel 38, verses 18 to chapter 39, verse 6, it says that the Islamic world is going to be wiped out. So Russia and their play with the Islamic world to wipe the Jewish state of Israel off, and we could expand upon that for another 2 hours, but the fact is when they put this all together, try to wipe Israel off the face of the earth with this coalition led by Russia in the Middle East right now in the nation of Israel, just miles from Israel's northern border. You can see how God's prophetic scenario is playing out. And they begin. Russia is the major player in the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period, soon to be wiped out. China is at the end of that 7 years, and all in between. Hell will break out on the earth.
I'm going to bring one more country into our discussion before we open phone lines, and that is with this transition in Washington, we now have Kim Jong-un of North Korea flexing his muscles back to his old ways, and through the Korean Central News Agency, Kim reportedly said that the U.S. is North Korea's biggest enemy and has not promised major leaps forward in this country's, he's now doing that, promising major leaps in the country's nuclear technology. In essence, now daring Joe Biden to do something about it. If you could comment on North Korea.
The North Korean midget is licking his chops at this point in time. He is so excited. He enjoyed his sojourn and all the conversations that he had with Donald Trump. That was just a sparring match that he enjoyed so very much. Everybody thought he was off the scene. That was a ploy by the North Koreans to let them lay down their guard for a while. But now he can hardly wait to be able to stand up to Joe Biden. And he believes, in looking at the history of Joe Biden's 47 years in the Congress of the United States in Washington and doing absolutely nothing. And with everybody he's surrounding himself with in the positions of secretaries of different organizations, the state and whatever, all of them together, he is a security operation, his intelligence operation, etc. The midget there in North Korea can hardly wait for that to begin to happen. He is just playing a game. He could be wiped off very quickly if America would wake up. And I think that Donald Trump was moving in that direction. I wish Donald Trump had been more forceful than he was. That's just my opinion. However, Joe Biden is not going to be half of what Donald Trump was as it relates to the leadership of North Korea.
Our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your questions for Dr. DeYoung or brief comments, 800-733-9829. Dr. DeYoung, you have so often said that God is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Do you see that stage set up intensifying?
Boy, every actor, I have to say, Jim, every actor is in place on that stage. That final drama is going to be played out, it seems, very quickly now. I was surprised when I woke up this morning because last night, just before I fell asleep, I was praying for the rapture. Judy and I, my wife and I, in our prayer time together each night, we pray for the rapture, and I thought for sure it was going to happen overnight. So I was very surprised it had not happened this morning when I woke up. But everything we've been talking about, just go back and remember, dear folks, everything that Jim has been asking me, my response to his questions, these are the major players. I'm not making it up. North Korea is a part of the kings of the East, China, Iran, Israel, Syria, all of these, Russia, all of them that we're talking about, they're part of that end time scenario that the Lord lays out, and that's an absolute. Just read it and understand what it's saying and recognize where we are in this world today.
Phone lines are packed. Let's go to Mike in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, I didn't want to take up too much of your time, but what do you guys advise folks like us with young children to do in the direction that everything's headed right now?
Well, first of all, I would make sure, I don't know what age your child is, but I would make sure that that child knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you think the child's too young, still give the gospel to them, because they may be at the point where they can understand the gospel and understand that they need to get saved. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, and later on in their life, go back and give the gospel again. That's number one. Number two, I would present the Word of God and start teaching the Word of God in a family type of conference. Get together on a daily basis. Open the Word of God. Get that child focused on what God's Word has to say. I received a video from our youngest son. He has a precious little 3-year-old daughter. And you know what it was? It was her singing, "His Eye is on the Sparrow."
Wow.
"And I Know He Watches Me." That just blessed my heart. It blessed my wife, her great-grandmother's heart, to see the focus of the family, and they're taking them to church every Sunday, and they're making sure they're focusing on the Word of God. Get your children focused on the Word of God. Live then. The third thing, live. You and your wife, live in light. What God's Word tells you to do as parents, nourishing your children in the things of the Lord. That's what I would do. That's what we've done, and I would suggest that to you.
Thank you, Mike. Good thoughts and salvation, then ground them in truth and live it. Let's go to Christine. Christine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. DeYoung. I pointedly want to ask how to talk to my pastor, who we are supposed to be, this church is supposed to be pre-tribulational in its eschatology, and I could see the handwriting on the wall now I've been studying China and communism for years.
So what is your question, Christine?
My question is how to talk to them when they don't feel politics are something we should be talking about, and the Great Reset is so obviously stating what the Bible says is going to take place in Revelation. So I'd like to know how to pointedly ask him to address things.
Okay, thank you. And we're up against a break, so Dr. DeYoung will pick that up on the other side. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. January 6th, 2021. Will that be remembered as America's Reichstag moment? Remember when Hitler burned his own building and then tried to blame it on his enemies? Apparently, there is increasing evidence, including video, of just that occurring. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, anarchist, invading the U.S. Capitol and doing the damage. Maybe a few Trump people got caught up in it, but somebody clearly opened the doors. I've been to the U.S. Capitol many times. Lived there in the D.C. area for 8 years. I used to go there when there were no metal detectors and anyone could walk in. I've been there years after. Everything is locked down. Somebody had to open those doors. Somebody had to remove the police. And you've seen the video of the police removing the barricades and letting them in. Folks, I think this was a staged event to now blame conservatives, Christians, constitutionalists as being domestic terrorists. America better wake up and not buy the propaganda.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, our guest here today, his website, prophecytoday.com, prophecytoday.com. If you want to stay informed on these issues, check out that website, and also you'll find many, many resources there from Dr. DeYoung and his ministry as well. So the caller, Christine, said, how do I get my pastor interested in these things? So, you know, our eschatology says this, but how do I actually get our church interested in these very matters?
You know, Jim, I do believe that's a question being asked by many congregants across the entire United States. They don't know what to do because churches are not teaching eschatology. It's one-third of the entire Bible. One in every three pages is Bible prophecy. It needs to be taught, and the pastors need to be teaching it. Now, as to what this young lady should do, look, your pastor should be approachable. If he is truly a godly pastor, you can approach him. So don't be afraid. Go to him, sit down, and maybe have him over for dinner with he and his wife or something sometime and say, hey, look, I've been reading the Bible. I've been studying this information, and I don't hear you referring to it a lot in Scripture. Do you think that our church should be teaching what God's prophetic word says about the events unfolding? And then get his answer. The best way to open up a mind is to ask a question. So ask that question first, then see what his response is. And let me just say, and I'm not trying to be harsh, but if he says, I'm not interested in teaching Bible prophecy, I don't think that's too controversial, I would find another church as soon as I possibly could, and check the pastor and the church's eschatology and their philosophy of ministry before you get involved.
Let's go next to Mary. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
I want to thank Dr. Jimmy DeYoung for just clarifying previously on the fact that China would need the Euphrates dried up in order to make a military advancement. And I had that highlighted in my Bible forever, and I wrote in there on the side, China. And obviously that was the right thing because you clarified that would indeed relate to Ezekiel 38. And does it also relate to the hooks that the Almighty will put in the jaws of these nations once
yes,
to have?
Yes, it does.
Thank
and
you,
not only that, let me just tell you something. Tayyip Erdogan, who is the president for life as it relates to Turkey, who wants to revive the old Ottoman Empire and be the pan-Islamic leader of the world, Tayyip Erdogan has 21 dams in Turkey on the Euphrates River. He can shut those dams down at any time. He did it about 15 years ago, and the people south of that, because they get their water from the Euphrates River coming out of Russia through Turkey, then into Syria, and through Iraq, and into the Persian Gulf, they went livid because they had no water. So I'm not saying that's what God's going to use, but that is a viable possibility. It will happen. It will be dried up. I'm glad we were able to help you on that question.
Thank you, Mary. Next is Jeff. You're on the air, Jeff.
Yes, I'm curious. Isn't the United States part of God's new covenant where the risen Lord can find a home and thrive among us?
No, they are not a part. Look at the new covenant. It's Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Now, I'm simply a literalist. I'm stupid enough to believe what the Bible says. And it says, I will give a new covenant to Judah and Israel. Those are the two parts of the state of Israel when they divided after King Solomon, which I read this morning in my quiet time. You have to understand what God's word said. He didn't say Washington, D.C. He didn't say London, England. He said Judah and Israel. He gives the new covenant to them. He made a commitment. He gave the Abrahamic covenant to them, the land covenant. He gave them the Davidic covenant, and he gave them the new covenant. And that's when he's going to come back and dwell. The new covenant will be fulfilled when he comes back to set up his kingdom. The Jews will be his people. He will be their Messiah at his second coming.
Thank you for the call. Aaron in Preston, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hello. Hey, I have a question for Dr. DeYoung about the timing of the rapture.
Mm-hmm. What is your question?
I think it's Revelation 4 or 5. It talks about the souls that went through great tribulation. And it says the white robes were given to them and that they will reign with Christ. So if the rapture happens before the tribulation period, which is the resurrection, does that mean that there's another resurrection at the end of the tribulation period?
Well, we don't have time to explain it, dear brother, but there are three resurrections we could talk about. But the place you were referring to happened to be the book of Revelation chapter 7, when the 144,000 male virgin Jews are preaching the gospel of the kingdom during the tribulation period. Chapter 4, verse 1 says that, indeed, John said, I heard a trumpet, as it were, talking with me, which said, come up hither. That's the rapture of the church. He then, after that, is found in the heavenlies. Chapter 4, verse 2, he's in the throne room of the kingdom or the heavens in the heavenlies where God the Father and Jesus the Son are today. The word church is used 19 times before chapter 4, verse 1 of Revelation. After chapter 4, verse 1, it's not used again. The church is going to be out of here. And then that seven-year period of time from chapter 4, verse 2, through chapter 19, verse 10, 16 chapters, detailed information will unfold. And that's the tribulation period with no church in it. We're out of here at the rapture.
Aaron, thank you for your call. We're going to squeeze one last call in. Lynn, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I would just like to ask Jimmy DeYoung about the promise in the Bible that the Lord will bless those who bless Israel. I kept holding out hope for President Trump because he has been such a blessing to Israel.
Well, we don't know exactly what God does have in store for President Trump. All we can know is what he has in store for us. But the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3, does say he will bless those who bless the Jewish people in the state of Israel. He will curse those who curse the state of Israel and the Jewish people. I think Joe Biden better be paying attention to that scripture verse himself, because that is an absolute as well.
Indeed. Thank you. And we certainly have been blessed as a nation. Lynn, thank you for the call. So much going on, folks. But Dr. DeYoung, it's a great time to know the Savior, and that needs to be first and foremost in everybody's heart and life.
And work for him until that rapture does take place, which, by the way, that rapture could happen today. So keep looking up.
Amen. ProphecyToday.com is the website. Dr. DeYoung, thanks for being with us today.
My joy, and I look forward to another visit.
And stay on the line here for a moment, if you would. Dr. DeYoung, again, from ProphecyToday.com. Check out the site. And, folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.